Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. Tonight we talk Glow. No spoilers apart from episode 1. If you've not seen episode 1, you feel free to listen to this. We're not going to ruin too much of the series for you. Our job is to try and persuade you or dissuade you from watching the series Glow. You're welcome. And Matthew Wanless and Jamie Anderson join us. Jamie as usual, and Nat and Matthew's basically as usual now as well. So we've got London and Manchester together as one. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello.
I have not eaten anything today other than one bowl of cereal at breakfast. I am sitting here in a room that's about 38 degrees. I am as naked as the day I was born.
Oh.
I was in a dressing gown. I've had to shed that right now.
Is this some weird, like, new diet you're on, Howell?
Well, also, the way I haunch over the bed while I'm recording is, like, the curtains are open on the window, so when I finish this podcast, I stand up holding my computer, putting my dressing gown on, and the whole street can see that happen. I wonder what they think I've been up to.
Ooh.
Anyway. Wow, what a horrible set of images.
I know. I look. Wow. Imagine Gollum in the corner of a spare room. That's what I look like right now.
But, like, but no, you don't look like Gollum.
Gollum who's let himself go a bit. That kind of Gollum.
You look like you've got the face of a garden gnome.
Says the man with the beard. Says the man who's just missing a pointy hat. Okay.
No, but I mean, if we my beard doesn't look like a gnome, though.
Please email us.
I don't have those kind of cheruby cheeks.
Do you know what? If we did merchandise of us all as gnomes, it would work perfectly. studio@theboxsetpod.com if you'd like to invest, let us know. Look, I certainly couldn't be a wrestler, and tonight we're talking about the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. Okay, Jamie, how much of Glow have you watched?
All.
And Matthew?
All.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
Right.
We thought you were on a wanna.
Yeah.
No. I thought I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. I watched the whole thing.
Well, you definitely poured scorn on it. So brace yourselves. Let's begin with Jamie and I saying how brilliant this series is. Loved it from minute one.
Let's just go through the basics of the plot then.
Do it.
So, yeah, Alison Brie, Community and Mad Men's own. Is basically an actress who's struggling to find work, especially in the world of dominated by decent male roles. Mm-hmm. And she, in her desperation, she takes an audition for a new wrestling TV show.
She doesn't know that that's Glow. What it is, but during the audition.
Yeah, you gather that from by the end of the episode. This show is going to be called Glow, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. It's being directed by a sleazy B-movie director played by Marc Maron and stars a number of eccentric characters who all join for the audition process. And that is episode one. If you just watched episode one, it's literally the auditioning process.
Set in LA, and also worth mentioning, this is based on a true story. The Glow, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling was the name of a TV show in the States in the 80s and was huge.
It's a comedy. This it's a bit of drama in there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll go along with that. Yep.
Good. Oh, Matthew agrees on the genre. and if you've seen, there is also a documentary on Netflix. So don't get confused if we persuade you to watch it. Don't watch the wrong thing. We're talking about the TV series. I recommend watching the documentary, but only afterwards. And I don't think the documentary is all that great, to be honest. But it sheds light on the truth versus the dramatisation. So
how does it compare? Does it have interest?
It's quite different. But then again, as we've said a lot with everything recently, they will obviously be trying to squeeze this out into more series. So it's not covered the same places. There was a lot of Las Vegas action in reality, and we've not gone to Vegas, but I would bet my house on Series 2 being in Las Vegas. So I loved it. I loved it start to finish. Mark Maron, I've only heard on his podcast and seen in his TV series Maron. I've always thought that he was okay as an actor. In this, I thought he really found his chops and was great. Alison Brie, I've always enjoyed. Thought she was great. I thought her and the other lady,
Betty Gilpin,
were both brilliant. They rock spandex in a way that I love, and yet I don't want to objectify them, because they do it in a way that is entirely feminine. The characters are all brilliant female characters, I think. I think better characters than from season two onwards of Orange is the New Black. I would make that argument.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, Al, because the creators of this, Carly Mensch and I believe Liz Flahive, are both... What was that, Howell?
Nothing. Are you confident with that pronunciation?
Flahive. I'm going with Flahive.
Okay.
And, of course, most famously, Genji Cohan, who also did Weeds, are behind. I've worked on Orange is the New Black. They've also worked on Nurse Jackie. There's some real pedigree with strong female characters.
And that explains the Betty Gilpin connection.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yep.
She's great in this, Jackie.
Yeah, and I think she's great in this as well.
And this as well. She's good in this.
Well, yeah. I think what's interesting is it took me a while to realise where I'd seen her before, and I've quite recently watched all of that. So it's testament to her acting chops that she's managed to...
I mean, I don't want to focus on the only male in the cast for too long, but I do want to mention Mark Maron for a minute.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously, I've listened to a lot of his podcasts, as of you, Howell, and what about you, Matt? You've been on his radar?
No, I'd heard the name, but I couldn't have placed it at all, and I've not seen anything that he's done.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I haven't seen... Yeah, you should get on it. I mean, it's really good. I haven't seen any of his previous TV show, Maron, but I was very surprised, firstly, by the size of his role. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he'd be that big and important in the cast. Secondly, he's a very good actor. Like, he's got some chops on him, and I did not expect the level of performance from someone who I just assumed was like a bit of an angry comedian. So this is impressive.
Well, I get the feeling with this that he really didn't expect it to be to be what it is. That's my theory. I think he went in and kind of walked it, and good. He didn't worry too much about it, which is his problem in general, I think. Yeah, so well done him. Okay, well, and let me just say, I think it's another one of those things, even from the cover, that is harking back to 80s, 90s, Stranger Things, all the other stuff we've talked about. And
there's downright set in the 80s, you know, it's very, very 80s.
Yeah, and there's that kind of, it's of that ilk, and I loved it for that. I just loved it. I gobbled it up. I think it's a really quick watch. Clearly, Matthew, who's going to hold some criticism of it, has still watched it all. And so whatever he says, before we hand over to Matt, whatever Matt says, just ignore it. Over to Matt.
I mean, I don't have a bucket of scorn to pour over it.
Okay.
But it's fine.
So this is the golf here. We really do, Jamie, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love this?
I'd give it a very strong 8.5.
yeah.
Wow, really?
I'd be up there with 9.5 myself. So
I mean, this me is like the first series of Orange is the New Black. I think it's got so many similarities with Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Well, okay, so clearly the drama in this podcast episode is the difference between Jamie and I's 7.5 and Matt's
It's a solid 6, I guess.
Okay, all right. 7. Okay, the drama lies.
You know what, though?
Half a point. Let's go.
Like, no, Jamie gave it an 8, didn't he? An 8.5?
Oh, maybe he did. Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was, yeah. But, I mean, like, it is very similar to Orange is the New Black in that, like, Alison Brie, Betty Gilpin, Mark Maron, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying watching all of their stuff. Like the dynamic between the women is really interesting, and I mean, I want to like Alison Brie's doing in it a bit more than I do. I think, because I'm a big fan of hers. But I think they're being a bit trite with her playing up. They're playing up of her I'm such an actor stuff. And I got a bit bored of that.
We get it now.
Understand now. Matt's taking the pretentiousness personally because he is a pretentious actor. That's the problem.
No, he's taking it personally.
It's all right, no. Matt. It's all right. Remain calm.
It's all right. I've taken it personally. Fine. but the peripheral characters, and they are really quite peripheral, because as with Orange Is the New Black, they are just broad stroke kind of. What are they? They're kind of folk tales. They're all and this is where Orange Is the New Black fell apart as well. As soon as you started getting the backstories of the periphery, it was just like, oh god, I don't care.
Yeah,
all these stories are so boring and obvious, and I just don't care. I mean, thankfully this show doesn't veer off into their backstory so much. You just kind of get little moments of getting to know them and that kind of thing.
I hope they don't do that, none of them are fleshed out. Yeah, I hope they don't
I don't imagine they will, because it's not the same as prison, where it's like you want to know how someone got there. I imagine, you know, you kind of know everything you need to know about everyone now, about how they've come to be part of GLOW.
Yeah.
But it just, do you know what I mean at all, or did you just love everything about it?
I loved everything about it. I do know what you mean. My concern now that I wasn't aware of quite how much Orange Is the New Black creators were part of this. My concern certainly then is that in order to stretch it out for another two series, they'll start doing backstories of individuals. And I agree, I much prefer a central character to be driving it forward. And moving forward with pace. Where this may be saved is that it's following a historical line, but that doesn't mean to say they won't eke it out for a few series.
Well, this is the other problem I have, which is that the whole central thing of it is just, I just don't understand how they decided to make a big series about it. It just doesn't do anything for me, this whole, like this idea of this weird sort of sub category of an already very strange sport.
Well, don't you think that is purely about where we live? That if you grew up in, if this was a series about, for example, Noel's house party and some secrets behind.
Oh, not at all. Do not start talking to me about wrestling.
Yeah, but did you watch GLOW then at the time?
Not GLOW, no, but I was a massive WWF person
That's not GLOW.
10 to 15.
But isn't it reliant on the reminiscence of, in part of, is that what's missing is what I'm saying? You know,
maybe. I mean, I'd never heard of GLOW. GLOW wasn't a thing, was it? Did it actually become massively popular?
It was huge, huge. It was absolutely
never heard of it.
Massive.
Did it rival WWF then?
Well, you've got to think of it in terms of TV. So it was a massive, you know, millions and millions of people watched it, and it suddenly stopped all of a sudden.
WWF was TV as well.
Yes, it was, but you didn't get it. What I'm saying is this was a massive TV series in the States and it stopped all of a sudden. So there's a great kind of what on earth happened to that? There's a big question if you grew up with it. What happened to that? God, I watched that.
Well, fair enough. But like, do you know what I mean? It's where it's like when you're watching the wrestling scenes and watching them get better at wrestling, are you not kind of just waiting for the next scene to happen?
No. I mean, I like the... I mean, I think wrestling is... prime fodder for a comedy.
I was going to say I found them funny.
But you know what I like about it is that it kind of you kind of respect wrestling as well. Like you see the funny side of it, you see the humor in the play acting, but you also appreciate the skill and like the you know, it never really kind of patronizes about the actual subject matter. But wrestling is massively there for the rip, for the, you know, taking the mickey out of and looking at it in this way.
I haven't said what I mean very well. I think you're absolutely right about that. I think it's the origin story that I don't enjoy. If it was just set in an established thing, and everyone's really good at it, because like when they get down to it, it's you know, they're professional about it, it's very entertaining to watch. And like, you know, if wrestling's on, I'll still watch someone do a drop kick.
Yeah,
I'll still sit there while someone leaps off the top ropes and clothesline another person off someone's shoulder. It's great to watch,
but what I don't enjoy
is the kind of is the shit bits of it.
But I think then you're suffering for the baggage you bring as a wrestling fan then, because the fascination with this story was it wasn't athletes, it wasn't wrestlers who'd wrestled who were brought together in a league. It was actresses who had it put upon them. You know, we're going to pull off this thing that is going to be women wrestling and it's going to draw a big crowd. You know, that is the origin story is the point of difference.
Yeah, all wrestling started somewhere. Everyone was an amateur at some point, but I'm just saying I just don't find it a particularly interesting thing to watch someone get good at.
I do when it's actresses, you see. That's where it's, for me, that's what makes the whole thing so funny, is that those scenes, those, when you're watching people get good at it, you're watching people who have only been actors suddenly go through what actual pain is and how to do these moves, and you feel the hits with them. So
do you get any real sense of that though? Because the only people who are obviously actresses are the two leads. Everyone else is kind of just something else.
No, they were all there on an audition, weren't they? I just accepted they were actresses as well, but then we don't focus in on them, which, as with previous conversations, I hope we don't.
What I mean is they don't display any traits of being actors, apart from Alison Brie, really.
Yeah, I get that.
That's true.
Well, I think she's supposedly, despite her pretensions, just like you, Matt, someone, I'm sure you're an excellent actor, she, I think, is kind of the best actor there, despite her pretentiousness. The chances are she really deserved, you know, the first scene is her doing something actually very good and different. You know, she's a good actress in that first scene. And then we find out she's reading the man's part. Which in retrospect was on purpose. So I think that she is supposed to be a really good actress. Yeah. Everyone else were kind of never going to get a big part.
Well, yeah, and I think you're right. I think that they are, you know, she represents the actor trying to be the wrestler. I think a lot of the other characters represent almost like very much, they are a bunch of eccentrics, but there's a little bit of like us in that these are total amateurs, not knowing what they're doing. Watching them understand wrestling and then get better at portraying these characters and pulling off the moves. Like, there's a scene in one of the rehearsal episode where they rehearse the wrestling and they get the crowd in, where one of the wrestlers, she gets spat at, and she's like really shocked, and like it is quite shocking in the way they do it. Like, it's quite a shocking moment, and they start throwing stuff at her. I think there's actually a really good moment of like,
spoilers.
But oh crap, you know, this is them understanding that the art form of what they are doing, and like there's something in that accepting that you're going to be hated. Part of your role will be you're the one who gets hated by people, and there's something interesting in like them discovering these characters that they're going to be playing and developing storylines from that. And I think that you're right in some respects that there is a little bit too much of like the being crap at it. And I think they did probably do a bit too much of that, and we didn't get to see enough. And I think because they're clearly going to bang this out over maybe four or five series, they're stretching it a little bit, and they've not really gone into like them actually getting, you know, but only by the final episode, spoiler, do we get
No.
But you know, you get my point though. That they probably have, you know, stretched out a little bit because of the length they're looking to drag the show out. But I still,
I think, Jamie, I would say that this is much, much more guilty of the kind of pace wrangling that you were talking about last week, Howell, than pretty much anything that we've watched since Frequency.
Yeah, it's
no, it's true.
Quite obvious in this one, I think. Whereas Handmaid's Tale, you have to be a real season pro to be able to spot it. That's Let's get Adam Comstiff wants to join us, and we're, you know, we've got quite far in, I suppose. Adam, are you there?
Hello.
Ah, there he is.
Yeah.
Hey.
Adam, we've kind of gone through highs and lows of Glow so far. Adam is another regular, if you've never heard him before. Adam pops up here and there. And he has... How much of Glow have you watched, Adam?
I have watched all of the Glow.
You see, here's the thing. When was the last time we did something where everybody... Ooh. Because it is very easy to eat up. Whatever criticisms Matt's got, you will swallow this bad boy whole.
I watched. You know what? I would be not at all surprised if people to ask me questions about Glow, I wouldn't be able to answer about 60% of them because I watched it while I was doing all manner of other things.
But that's fine.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe that is the problem. It's while he was going through his wrestling cards from 1984, going, this isn't right. This is not right.
Oh, well, actually, Superfly Jimmy Snuka patented that move in the WrestleMania 6 against the Ultimate Warrior, and that's ended in disqualification due to being thrown in the referee's eyes.
Well, that was an actual fact, wasn't it?
Wow.
No, I just made it up. That's a conglomerate of about four different matches, that one.
Oh, right.
Adam, marks out of 10 for Glow.
11.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Another one.
Nice. Yeah. Tell me why you loved it.
Funny, well-acted, original sort of idea, Mark Maron saying cunt punches twice.
That was funny.
I just thought it was great. It was a show where I sort of had zero expectations or sort of preformed ideas about, and it just sort of got me straight out of the blocks.
There's a
just
lot
an
of,
easy sort of, not an overdeveloped thing. Again, it was something they could have milked, something that could have turned into something much longer, or it feels like they've left loads of meat on the bone. I think
it's covered in milk. Really the big. Bone is bare.
I don't want to repeat the conversation you've already had, I guess, but it feels like there's loads more to explore from a lot of those characters.
Matt has brought a great deal of baggage to this one and is in the minority very much. And I'll say this, there is a lot of... I found myself the other day actually going, oh God, what can I watch? Which is amazing because we've got so many things on the go. There's a lot of heft at the moment. Fargo is heavy. The Handmaid's Tale is heavy. What else have we discussed recently?
House of Cards season 5.
Yeah, they've all had a lot of heft. And then Glow came on and it was just like, oh yes, it's like watching the Care Bears or something. It's taking me back. I'm fine.
You know what? I'll go along with that because as much as I'm being a bit over dramatic about it because it makes for better radio.
Whatever.
But I wouldn't say to someone that they shouldn't watch this show.
No.
I'd recommend it.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
What about Kate Nash turning up as well?
I mean, she's a mediocre actress.
I mean, because that's what freaked me out a little bit. Because, like, we were like, she was the one who annoyed us in the cast. We were like, hey, this girl, like, she's putting on, and we actually thought she was putting on an English accent.
I completely agree. I thought that as well. Yeah.
And then we realised it was Kate Nash, and it was like, holy shit, she did that horrible song.
Jamie,
those horrible songs.
Harsh.
There were more than one.
I'll dig out the interview where Jamie is charming to Kate Nash about that horrible song, shall I?
He's a professional.
He certainly is.
Consummate.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I mean, as with, and I'm going to ruin something here, but I don't even care. If you're not up to date with Game of Thrones, Ed Sheeran makes a bloody cameo. Ed Sheeran makes a cameo in Game of Thrones. And I'm furious about it because he's Ed Sheeran, but because he wasn't very good.
You know
good.
What? And guess what? He quit Twitter today as well. I'm guessing it's because of that.
I heard he quit last week. So, but anyway, yes, Kate Nash is fine. But as with Ed Sheeran in Game of Thrones, fine. And that's my problem. But people in America don't know who she is, and good on her because she got a bit shafted. You know, she was part of the music industry and still is, and the music industry shafts you, and she's managed to get herself a gig. So well done, Kate Nash. But there's an interesting story behind all that, I'm sure, isn't there? How did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, she's still going very much as an independent sort of artist, isn't she? As well, she's someone who's been the sort of pop stuff and does a lot of self-release stuff. And it took me ages to figure out who she was, but I didn't think she was all right. I didn't think she was that bad. I thought she was all right. I thought she was good.
Well done.
I felt bad that I was trying to think about this show, and I thought, it's such a good ensemble cast. Why do I want to talk about how good Marc Maron is in it straight off?
I know that's exactly what I said.
The cast absolutely filled with women. It shouldn't be, because Alison Brie's great in everything. I think she's particularly good in this. I think Marc Maron's brilliant in it. I've not seen him do anything other than himself, and I know it doesn't feel like the biggest stretch of his acting chops, but I think he's great in it.
I agree. I think and you're right, it is funny. Like, it's genuinely a funny. I love the Alison Brie character, and I think that it's important that she. It's nice to see her in a really strong role, and it's nice to see. I hope they stay with her as a lead character, like we've said in the second series, that she, you know, her dynamic with Marc Maron is really good. And they were really, the chemistry, the way they worked together was really fun to watch, and they're a really interesting sort of pairing.
I think I understand Matt's criticism of her to some degree, and it's, but I see it as a good thing, because all the roles we've seen her in so far have been about being almost nun-like, uptight in Mad Men and in Community and stuff. And in this, what I like about this series is all the women get to move around as women. They get to kind of just literally walk, talk and behave in a way that seems quite honest.
Women walking and talking, everyone.
Whatever next.
She doesn't have to play. She's not being forced into a straight jacket of a role. And so it's quite exposing.
Are you talking about her or the character at this point?
I'm saying Alison Brie, I think, exposes herself in lots of ways, which is quite brave for an actor to do in this series, where we haven't seen her do that before. As such, I don't know whether she is as good an actress as we all thought she was. I don't know. I think. But basically, what I'm saying is, I think she exposes herself and opens herself bare to the kind of criticism, the kind of critical wolves such as Matthew Wandless, to then be able to critique her performance.
Whereas I don't think I've said anything about her performance. I said I didn't like the way they were leaning on her being a pretentious actress.
You said about 10 minutes in. You said, haven't you got a bit of a problem with Alison Brie, something like that? But can't you see?
Okay, but I was talking about the way that the character's been written, not about her performance.
Okay, fine.
But you think it's a bit cheap to have her to the struggling actress thing was a bit 2D, do you think?
Well, yeah, like the bit where I think this is in episode 2, so sorry. but where she wants to come up with a backstory for the fight.
Okay, yeah.
And then she starts throwing herself around the ring. I was just, I thought that was really quite poor. But,
it was meant to be slightly poor, though, wasn't it? She was meant to be not very good at it.
Well, this is.
Yes, of course she was, yeah, but I thought the whole idea was just like, it was just so. Come on. Well, is that really what you're going to have her do?
This is exactly what I mean, is that not since drama school have I seen people do things so embarrassing, and she's thrown herself into that. And I think that's what that character is written as. She's the character.
No, I know I'm saying that, but I'm having a go at that. Character is written. It's so boring and stereotypical. It's like I expect her to start talking about being a tree or something like that.
Yeah, but those
things, where it's just like broad stroke drama school stereotypes.
But those things exist. You know, those things are.
They don't really. Do they?
Oh, I've seen.
They don't. I mean, I've never met anyone who's that pretentious about anything.
You should have been on my A-level theatre studies course, mate. Blimey.
I could give you as many examples as you like on that. I've seen an actress once seriously suggest to me in a room that because an eagle is mentioned in the script that they should all behave like eagles whilst forming the shape of an eagle. To which I said,
"Fair enough, there are dickheads out there."
To which I said, "Why don't you show me?" And after which she realised it wasn't such a great idea. That's but yeah, I recognised that character, and I think to play that character, you have to be able to satirise that world quite well, and also genuinely open yourself up to stupidity. So yeah, I'm not criticising you. You might well be right about the criticism of that character, but I bought it.
Okay,
I think the whole sort of opening yourself up to sort of risk-taking abuse, it kind of, you feel like actually in the course of making the show that they had as much fun as it would be to actually become part of a wrestling show, if you know what I mean, because they actually had to do the whole learning to wrestle and having to it, like, it felt like it's one of those shows that you watch and you think this must have been a lot of fun to do.
Yeah.
And at the point where it's not a massive spoiler to say they get good, like, you find yourself genuinely going, wow, they got good. That's brilliant. Like, being genuinely happy for them, enjoying the fact that this becomes a proper sort of, like, sports kind of series to a degree, and how the whole sort of sense of fun, and yeah, it made me want to watch more wrestling. It made me watch a documentary about the actual Glow immediately afterwards. Have you watched that?
Yeah, I didn't rate it that much, but I thought it was all right. But it was interesting to see the difference, wasn't it, between reality.
And I think, like,
it's interesting similarity. Sorry,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
on the supporting characters, I do think there are some strong ones in them. I know you said they were a bit 2D, but you know, one of the characters I really enjoyed was the Welfare Queen. Like, I thought she was brilliant. Like, the amount of times I just, I was laughing out loud at some of the sort of scenes she had in the ring. I thought she was really well done. And, like, the old biddies as well. And there was something really enjoyable about watching these, like, people, like, come with their own little characters and flesh them out. There's something nice about that process.
I think
I enjoyed that.
Having watched the documentary, I think that they've been incredibly kind to the men in it, because the men have their problems, like the producer's a rich boy who's spoiled and Mark Maron's a cokehead. But I think watching the documentary, in reality, I think there was a lot more misogyny going on than they've kind of portrayed in it, by the sound of it.
Yeah, I think they've intended to make it a very fictionalised sort of take on it. They've taken very broad inspiration from it, haven't they?
But in a way it misses it, because the husband is plays the misogynist in it, and yet this whole thing, gorgeous ladies of wrestling, is it's such a misogynistic
It's phrase, pretty exploitative from the start, isn't it?
Yeah.
Probably quite quick, sort of.
Yeah.
But again, there's
but,
more.
But I like that they didn't. I like that it didn't just become a kind of male bashing thing, and that to both female and male characters, they drew some quite interesting flaws instead of just going for the easy shot. You know.
Yes, that's true.
Which is nice. Has anyone got any final points? Have we missed anything?
I mean, I don't think anything's been missed, really. I think that as far as comedies go recently, there aren't many new comedies coming out that I think are better than this that have come out recently, at least new stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it's well-timed, like, there's not a lot, you know, it's been a well-timed coming out round now with, like you said, how a lot of kind of heavy material on TV and on Netflix and on Amazon or whatever. It's nice to have something that's really, it's just so easy to just enjoy and watch and escape to the 80s LA world with the soundtrack and the rock set
and the montages.
But under that surface,
did enjoy the soundtrack.
There are a couple of great montages. Yeah, and the soundtrack. Yeah, it's all nicely done, isn't it?
Really good.
I am missing.
I tell you what,
I was just going to say, I do think there's a big lack at the moment for just really fun comedies. One that we're going to talk about soon that I'm going to put in our calendar is Girl Boss. Has anyone started watching Girl Boss?
Oh, not yet.
The title will put you off because you'll think that it's something like starring female Macaulay Culkin. But it's really fun. It's a funny modern thing, and I think we're going to have a good debate on it because the characters are different. But that's another newish one that's worth watching on Netflix. But it is hard to find a really good comedy at the moment, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think with this one, My main problem with it, I think, actually, is that I wanted it to be better. And
are you a wrestling fanboy?
Yeah.
No, no, no. It's not because...
Are you dressed as Ric Flair doing this right now?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
If only I was. If only I could pull off a Ric Flair red pants and red boots. But it's just that when... Oh, I don't know. It's not because it was about wrestling. It's not because the subject is particularly dear to my heart, although I really enjoyed wrestling when I was a kid. But it's just like... It seems like a big opportunity, and I just I feel like with this, the same as Orange is the New Black, you know, they've got this massive female ensemble with a huge mix of races and stuff, and I just feel like obviously you know it doesn't matter what I think because they're getting massive popularity with some of the stuff, but I just feel like they're blowing it a little bit.
Yeah, quite often Matthew Wanless has a really good point. In this case, he's completely wrong. It's a brilliant TV series. Discard everything that you've just heard.
It is good. It is good. I wanted it to be better.
I want to say now, any of Matt's family who are listening, I think it should be put down in Matt's will that on his tombstone should be written, "I wanted it to be better."
I was just expecting more. Here lies Matt Wandless. He just wanted a bit more.
brilliant. Right, well, listen, thank you. It's been a pleasure, this one. It feels nice to chew a thin cracker, but a cracker that's nonetheless very tasty. it's been a while, it seems, since we've not been trawling through some pretty hefty issues, and that's quite good. Next week, Vikings. Now, this is going to take a challenge for us, because we've got not one, but two strangers joining us. I think two. Fans.
Really?
Yeah. One is a listener of the podcast who has emailed us before, called Ray. Another is someone recommended by Mel. I won't say her name until she's definitely confirmed. But... this is going to require effort, and our box set team tend to join us when they happen to have watched something anyway, but we all need to try our best to watch Vikings by next week for the sake of Ray, who set that challenge down for us.
I'll do that. Was he the guy who emailed in saying we should watch it?
That's right, that's right. And he's going to join us.
I'm going to give it a go.
You know, I've always been interested in it.
Yeah,
it just doesn't look good. I'll watch the first episode.
I've already warned Ray to expect some lively critique.
I will bring my bucket.
All right, so if you want to email us, as usual, studio@theboxsetpod.com. Be interesting to find someone who wasn't impressed with Glow, just to make Matt feel less existentially bummed out. And we will see you next week. As we discuss Vikings and obviously Game of Thrones in between. Au revoir. Au revoir, everybody.
See ya.
Au revoir.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Goodbye.